It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome. I'm Dakota Gardner. This is Gemma Kaneko. That is Chris Landers. We are three of the Cut Four staff. What is Cut4? How would you describe Cut4? It's our short content website where we, with the MLB.com family, where we talk about bat flips and fan catches and the best food out there. And we are inviting you this week live to watch us produce our episode of the Cut4cast, which is our podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. And I think I'm ready to get started. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. We are going to start our podcast in 3, 2. Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
I am here.
And Chris Landers.
I am also present.
How are you both doing?
Present, really.
You're present. Well, that's good. That's an
effusive.
Existing in space and time.
Positivity here.
He would like us, like, sitting on this high stool. We should all just look at him while he's in the room.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you're wearing that Ghostbuster shirt, clearly.
I am. It's gotten a surprisingly strong, a strong feedback, really.
Good. Well,
it's a great shirt.
I'm glad that you're feeling so positively about it.
Yeah. tentatively positive.
All right. Well, here, let's dive in. We have a lot to talk about today. I don't know if you're familiar. I know this is a Cut Four, this is an MLB podcast, but this weekend, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, you may have heard, won the NBA Finals.
He did the
pretty
thing.
Exciting stuff. Now,
Believeland.
Believeland, indeed. But here's the interesting thing, is LeBron obviously is an insane athlete, and It got me wondering, I was watching him kind of do his thing, what if he were a baseball player, do you think would be the best position for him on the mound? Now, we have a post on MLB.com/cut4 where we actually, in 2003, after he was drafted, he went to Jacobs Field at the time and took batting practice with the Indians before an Indians-Reds game. And he did not do a great job.
But
he did pose for pictures. It was Indians-Reds, so he posed for pictures with the one and only Ken Griffey Jr., which is amazing, the two of them together.
And they became friends, which is
And they became
amazing.
Best of friends. Yes. But the question is, what position do you think LeBron should play on the diamond? Chris, why don't we start with you?
The natural answer would seem to be center field.
Center
because
field.
It sort of takes advantage of the fact that LeBron can basically do anything. I mean, if you saw his chase down block in Game 7 on Sunday, he definitely has the speed to cover center field. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming he has the arm because his biceps are the size of my entire body. So basing off the assumption that LeBron can pretty much do whatever he wants in any sport with enough training, I think center field is the place to put him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought outfield at first when you first asked this question. That makes sense to me. But again, we saw those batting practice videos. Can't really hit.
No.
You want to put him in a place where it's okay for him to not really be able to hit too much. So I thought maybe he should be a catcher because he can organize everything that way. He can basically like be the leader that everyone thinks and knows that he is. Mm-hmm. And that is what the value of a good catcher is, not necessarily always, you know, being hitting 300 at the plate.
That's
know?
True. That's and cool. he's very good defensively.
Yes.
And so that's a good role. Mm-hmm. I agree, actually, with one of our viewers here, Natalie, I think her name is. I just clicked and it went away. But your name is Natalie. And she says that he'd be a good first baseman. And I agree with that. Because when you think of the first baseman, you think they have good size. You want them to be tall so that they can reach
for
you know, wide throws of the play, stuff like that. And he is burly and strong. And so I feel like even though he maybe didn't have the greatest batting practice of all time, I think eventually he could grow and get better at it. And
you know, when he hits one, it's going to go a long way.
Right.
But at the very least, he could be like the version of Chris Davis, where he might hit around 200, but hit like 9 zillion dingers a year.
Yes.
Rounding up, naturally.
9 zillion dingers.
Because as we know about from baseball players, basketball players who have decided to pursue baseball.
Yeah, I can't think of
it
a
always works
in which
out.
It didn't work out well.
It did take
well,
Michael Jordan a while.
Well, I mean, this is a natural transition, right? Because we are all waiting for Space Jam 2. So this is just inevitable.
It's,
it has
that's
to happen.
True.
It will happen.
LeBron to baseball will happen.
It will happen at some point. Mm-hmm. I am sure of it. But enough of that. Let's get to the actual baseball. enough of the king of Northeast Ohio. Mm-hmm. So last night, the Dodgers and Nationals played. We were all super excited about it. It was going to be Clayton Kershaw versus Steven Strasburg. I was super amped for taping this. If you're listening to the podcast, we're taping this on Tuesday. I was really excited about that. Unfortunately, Strasburg got scratched with some, I think, back tightness or whatever it was. Yeah. And so we were cruelly robbed by the fates of that matchup. But the question that sort of spawned in my mind, and I think in yours as well, is, what is your dream pitching matchup right now? And it doesn't have to be one that didn't happen, but if what two pitchers, when they're facing off, is like must-see TV? You're gonna push people out of the way to get to the television in your house or your apartment. Who are the two people you're most excited to see? Gemma, why don't we start with you?
You know, my first thought of this was that I want to see Madison Bumgarner and Noah Syndergaard face off, which they did already this year once. And it was not necessarily like the fireworks show that everyone hoped and thought it would be. The Giants won, but neither one of them put together an incredible... It was fine. They were both fine. You know, it was a good performance. But the reason that I'm so excited for that is because now with all those pitchers who rake, like wanting to be in the home run derby, I would love to watch them try to hit home runs off each other constantly. Because that would be a fun story. It's just is the two of them who are so proud of their hitting abilities, just really like going at it. But... since that's already happened and it was all right, I've decided that my
Jim remains nonplussed about the idea.
That, you know, whatever. It can happen again, but I won't be as excited. My dream pitching matchup is really just anyone that involves a healthy Yu Darvish. He came back for a second and it was so exciting.
Three tantalizing starts.
Oh, it was so exciting. And now all I dream about is just watching him face anyone, really anyone, just completely healthy. You know?
It's been forever since we've seen Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
I think like the baseball world's forgotten just how much of an ace he is. Because he's been away for so long.
Yes.
He's a top, top tier pitcher when
and
he's healthy.
It's also thrilling because the Rangers are so good.
Yeah.
And like
without their best pitcher.
And so there's this sort of sense of like, you know, we've seen the Cubs obviously are incredible this year and they're having a great run. But like there's this sense of like the Rangers can kick it up yet another notch and Darvish can bring it. And
when he's at his peak, it's just so delightful to watch. And like he just throws so hard, and I love it. I love you, Darvish, guys.
Cool.
I miss him. It's my dream. Come back.
What about you, Chris? Who are you most excited to see? Or what if you could just pick any two pitchers, who would you put against each other?
Like Gemma, I also went down the pitchers who rake rabbit hole. But unlike Gemma, I took it slightly less seriously than she did.
Okay.
So my initial thought was I would love to see Steven Wright because he, for my money, has been arguably the best story in baseball this year. He's a knuckleballer who completely retooled his arsenal, learned, I think he was in AA when he learned the knuckleball. He was a former top prospect who didn't pan out as a normal pitcher. And he's been amazing for the Red Sox this year. So I wanted to see him. And then I thought about who would I most want to see face Steven Wright? And the answer was naturally Bartolo Colon.
Okay.
So I want Steven Wright to play the Mets at Citi Field to watch Bartolo Colon try to hit the knuckleball.
Knuckleball versus guy who only throws fastballs.
Exactly, because they've both been great pitchers this year, and it had the added bonus of Bartolo trying to hit a knuckleball.
Hey, Bartolo hit a home run this year.
That's true.
He can do anything now.
It would go one, two ways.
That really is, though, the next step in the Bartolo Colon story.
Right.
There's nowhere else to go.
I was Googling it. I don't think he's ever faced a knuckleballer before. I might
be
wrong.
He should throw a knuckleball. He should go hang out with Tim Wakefield and the Necros and like learn how to throw the knuckleball.
I think you just want to write that Tim Wakefield fan fiction. I think that's the answer here.
56 years old. It'll be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it'd be great. I think
he's reinvented himself three or four times already. I mean, he might as well become a knuckleball.
All right, I'm into that.
I would be on board. I think Steven Wright and R.A. Dickey would also be acceptable.
Yeah, I consider Dickey.
Knuckleball versus knuckleball.
Yeah.
I think it hasn't happened in like 20 years or something.
Long time.
It's been a really long time. Yeah. So that would be super exciting.
What's your matchup?
My matchup, so I obviously would love to see Kershaw and Strasburg. I wanted to see it last night. I was a little bummed that I couldn't. But... failing that, Kershaw and Fernandez, obviously.
Yeah,
I know
that's a good
when
one.
We think of Kershaw, we think of just the great strikeout pitcher, but Fernandez actually has a better strikeout rate this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just, there's something about Fernandez's starts that feel very like Hollywood.
He's got
the
flair,
him actually doing it in Hollywood would be pretty fun against the best left-hander in the game. So I just love Clayton Kershaw. But I also thought, you know, what's the point of having a fantasy matchup if I can't be fantastical with it? And I thought, why not Jake Arrieta
versus a hippogriff
versus John Lester? Not a hippogriff. I don't think
fantastical, not mythical.
That's.
I don't think a hippogriff would be a great.
No,
pitcher,
I think a hippogriff would be an awful.
John
pitcher.
Lester's a great pitcher. Jake Arrieta
like
is
this.
A great pitcher.
So
I would like to watch.
Are you proposing? Are you proposing intra-squad baseball?
Yes,
is that
I am.
What you're?
I'm glad
yes.
you asked, Christopher. We have interleague.
That wasn't
play.
Even planned. Didn't even plan that segue.
We have interleague play. Why not have intra-team play?
I'm sold. I mean. Only the Cubs can beat the Cubs.
The Cubs are really good. Could
that
the
should
Cubs
be the next
the Cubs?
Cubs t-shirt. Only the Cubs can beat the Cubs.
At
so,
Cubs
Joe Madden, you're
get
welcome.
Me on the phone.
Chris hooked you up with your next yes. shirt idea.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, unfortunately, I don't think mine will ever happen as currently constituted, unless the commissioner, who I know is watching, decides to institute intra-team play, which is, I think, a fantastic idea. But let's move on here to our next topic, in which... the roster for the All-Star Game Celebrity Softball Game.
Oh boy.
This is my favorite event, was released. There are a ton of really excellent celebrities here. Pete Wentz, model Nina Agdal, Mark Paul Gosselaar. I'm a terrible millennial.
He has the double A, doesn't he?
Yes.
Gosselaar.
Gemma's just...
appalled.
Well, fine.
See the ground.
Who else is on the team?
There are other players.
Continue.
Well, there are other players on the team. But the important thing is, I want to know who you think you're most excited to see. Which of these celebrities you're most excited to watch play in the All-Star Celebrity Softball Game? Chris, why don't you let us know first?
Have you seen the photo of J.K. Simmons lifting weights? This is like...
it's true. Academy Award.
It's self-evident.
It's so crazy.
I mean, this is why he's lifting weights, to prepare to drop 50 homers in the Celebrity Softball Game.
It's true. The Academy Award winning actor J.K. Simmons is also participating in the game. And... he's been Instagramming photos of him working out. And
he's gonna hit balls literally out of the park, not just out of the little softball.
Out of the entire stadium.
It's just out. It's on the street.
Out of Petco.
He will be the
Petco's out of Petco. Pitcher's Park. Yeah.
He's gonna hit the warehouse. Is what he's gonna do.
That would be probably one of the greatest moments in the history of
and then just never be heard from again. Just walk off.
All right. Well, Gemma, what about you? Who are you?
Well, obviously, you know, as I'm from Detroit and grew up a Tigers fan, and so did J.K. Simmons. So he was on my list of people to support.
Yawn.
Whatever. But also, gotta root for Mr. USA, Landon Donovan.
Landon Donovan. That's right. Former.
He'll be there.
U.S. Men's National Team soccer player. Who will be there participating. My understanding, I think he played in like a Dodgers celebrity game last year.
He did.
And he was really good. And he takes it very seriously.
He does.
Which is great. Like, I love it.
There was no messing around. He was making diving catches. He was running the base. He was taking the extra base.
Look, that's
it was remarkable.
That's what Landon does. I'm sorry. He gives 100% all the time. Just should also be noted that there are also some ex-players who are playing this game. Raleigh Fingers, Tim Raines, Ozzie Smith, and Trevor Hoffman, who I think we all want to watch play softball. That would be terrifying.
Definitely want to see that.
My pick here is actor Sterling K. Brown, who you may know from his recent turn as Christopher Darden in the FX version of the O.J. Simpson trial. He was amazing in that.
Professional title.
Yes. He was amazing in that, and I'm sure he will be great in the Celebrity Softball Game. I'm excited to see his work out on the field after seeing his work on the small screen.
Wow. Are you his agent?
Yeah, that was some press release-ready copy.
I'm a big fan of his, okay? All right. Ultimately, I'm really excited for the All-Star Celebrity Game. I think it's great. I love it. All right, let's move on here to our next thing. And I don't know what the right word is. There's a run of fans who, whenever they catch a foul ball, they'll catch it in their drink. And then they'll hold the drink up aloft to the crowd in the stadium, and they'll just chug it with the ball in the drink. And this has become like a tradition in Major League parks. Fans try it often and fail, and they'll attempt to get the ball in the drink, and it'll explode everywhere, and it's a mess, and it's terrible. But this seems to be like the new thing that everyone wants to do of fans, even more than catching a foul ball. This is the dream. And so we were trying to figure out what like the next thing is. Now that this is the trend, what is the next trend of crazy fan things? Gemma, what do you think? What's the next like thing you'll see in the ballpark?
Okay, so I think that I'm going to project this like maybe 10, 15 years in the future. So do you remember that fan that took a selfie of him when Brandon Drury fell into the stands to make that catch and he took a selfie?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's going to be the new thing, is trying to get selfies with ballplayers at every moment that they are even close.
This is
close
a horrifying
to a fan.
Thing, but okay.
Well, I mean, this is just becoming more like Hanley Ramirez was taking some selfies in the on deck circle, just at any moment that you can capture the action, that is what is the new tradition.
There was even the fan who took a selfie of the Indian, I think it was the Indian, the Jumbotron, who had a picture of him taking a selfie of the
on the Jumbotron. Yeah, it was crazy. But I think that though that will also end with a lot of phones being destroyed by baseballs.
Yes.
So that will probably, you know, shorten. So now I actually think the debate of baby or no baby is going to become the new glove or no glove. Like, does your fan catch count if you weren't also holding a baby while you made the catch?
See, I...
Because that's become so popular.
It has become popular.
Yes.
But I think at a certain point, people are going to realize, no, I should just put my child down
and
then catch the ball because it will increase the odds of catching the ball.
I feel like you can't...
But where do you put your child?
Like, would you, like, hi, person, I don't know, baby. Ball.
Yeah, no, where are you placing your newborn?
You have like a baby Bjorn or whatever. You're like holding the baby.
I'm not talking about like baby, but like there's sometimes like it'll be a child, and you could just put the child down on the ground. They're,
but like, I still think that's gonna be, you know, that debate is gonna gain in prominence.
People will just bring random children to the ballpark with them,
so
that they can hold them while catching.
Can I borrow your kids so that I can, you know,
be
make
famous.
A legitimate fan catch?
Okay. All right, we'll see. Chris, I'm not super on board with that as the next trend.
I don't think it necessarily should be, but I think it will be.
Give the people what they want.
Well, Chris, what's your trend that you've spotted?
Perhaps this was because I wrote this post a few days ago about a couple of Giants fans who wore giraffe costumes to celebrate their favorite player, Brandon Belt, who is the baby giraffe, is his nickname. And I want to kind of expand that to, if your favorite player has a nickname, any nickname, try to... go to the park as the embodiment of that nickname. So, like, if you're an Evan Gaddis fan, he's El Oso Blanco, the White Bear. White Bear costume to the game. And you could have, like, even more abstract ones, like Dustin Pedroia is the Laser Show. Get creative. See if you can wear
a laser show
costume to Fenway Park.
I would love to see that.
I think this is, like, the next level of appreciating your very favorite players.
I'm into this. It's a
nice little marker of who exactly you're a fan of without wearing a jersey.
And then you have to make people kind of guess.
All the fun of Halloween without all of the weird candy.
It does. It brings, like...
I'm sorry, wait. You think the bad part about Halloween is the candy? That's the part that's not good.
Halloween candy is a low floor, is what I'll say.
A low floor?
You would rather have Halloween without the candy. That's crazy.
To me, the costumes are by far the best part of Halloween,
It's the eating the...
I will die on this hill.
That's truly a terrible
This is one of my most scalding takes.
Oh, it's so bad.
Nonetheless.
That's
what
terrible.
Is your
all
tradition
takes matter.
So we can stop talking all about shame. So we can stop talking about Halloween and no candy.
I'm so
tell me what you think.
So I wrote the rules, I broke the rules. That's sort of our tradition here on the Cut 4Cast. I didn't really focus on the fans so much. I focused more on some of the other stuff that goes on in the ballpark. So I feel like Orbit, we know that he likes to troll the opposing players.
Yes.
We actually just today, it happened last night, where Orbit put together like a fake fortune-telling machine and was delivering fake fortunes to members of the Angels about how they were going to strike out and all that kind of stuff. And I think that that's like a frontier that will move. I think all mascots will start trolling the opposing team.
Okay.
Because
we can only hope.
You got to get in the mental edge. We all know that baseball is a mental game at the end of the day. And if you, as your mascot, can get the mental edge, like if Mr. Met can walk out
on
the field.
So wait a second. I mean, does this mean you're in support of Dinger's activities?
Well, okay.
This would be a remarkable reversal.
My personal grievances with Dinger notwithstanding, I think the trolling aspect is very intelligent and a good baseball move. I just find Dinger terrifying more than anything. But that's neither here nor there. I think that this is the one of the things that's going to be pushed forward in the future. And as we know, the Rays popularized the extra 2%. That was the book about them, about how they have to try to find all the extra value in all the little areas that you don't necessarily see on the field. This is an aspect of that. So don't be surprised if you see DJ Kitty down at Tropicana Field coming out and trolling the Blue Jays, for example. I think this might be a way forward. Now, that's not the only thing I thought of, obviously.
All right.
I
have a couple of course. Of course, always.
We saw on Flag Day, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant sang the national anthem together.
It was adorable.
It was a very sweet moment. And I think we may start to see more of that, of the national anthem singer being a member of the baseball family. We know that Andrew McCutcheon's mom has this tradition of singing the national anthem in the postseason, and sometimes during the regular season as well. And we had, you know, Brizzo singing the national anthem, and so I think there'll be much more of that. I think that'd be really cool. Wouldn't you want to see, like, David Ortiz come out with a microphone?
Yes.
And maybe on sing him specifically.
A G-rated version of the national anthem. I would appreciate that.
I would like to see that.
I know you guys would all love that. I think that would be really good. Yasiel Puig could sing the national anthem. Who wouldn't love that?
I would love it.
No one here.
Take your silence.
I would love it.
I am floored by the ingenuity of your idea.
And then the last thing I thought of, we saw that the other day Michael Saunders had 3 home runs.
Yeah, this was a good one.
And the Blue Jays fans in the ballpark against the Orioles, the Blue Jays fans threw their hats out onto the field.
Gotta love that.
Like you do with
because
a hat
Canada.
Trick.
So hockey.
Because
hockey,
Canada,
hat trick, 3 home runs. I think that's an incredible tradition. Now, I am not advocating throwing anything on the field. However, if baseball hats find their way on the field after a 3 home run day for a player, I think that that might not
be the
worst.
Just be, you know, happy that Tigers fans didn't throw octopuses after Victor Martinez's 3 home run.
That's a horrifying tradition that I am not in favor of whatsoever. Sorry, Detroit. I do not mean to bash your hockey tradition, but don't throw octopi at anybody ever. All right.
Well, I have no comment.
You should. Gemma is from Detroit, if you're not familiar.
As I noted earlier, yes.
And she obviously is very pro.
All things Detroit.
Octopi
all things Detroit. I'm pro.
All things Detroit, including throwing octopus. Octopi.
I don't necessarily. It could be either. Let's not have this fight. I feel dubious about throwing living animals on the ice.
Good.
I'm, not
I'm glad to hear that.
It's a reasonable stance.
Yes, okay.
All right. Well, guys. We're out of time.
What?
Don't say it so.
Yes.
We blazed through this so quickly. But I just want to say thank you. We have to sum up the podcast into 140 characters. If you're watching, this is a tradition that we have on the Cut Forecast every week where we sum up the podcast into 140 characters, one bite-sized chunk that gets at that true essence of what this podcast is about. Chris, since you had a truly horrible take about
Halloween candy.
We can get into this if you want. I will now donate my 140 characters exclusively to defending my Halloween takes.
Okay, yeah, we are going to take a second to talk about that. What is your least favorite Halloween candy?
Candy corn.
Okay.
No one likes candy
but
corn.
But how many people give out candy?
Yeah,
you'd be surprised.
Are you just getting a bucket full of candy corn when you were a child?
One time you got like a bag of Skittles from somebody's house on Halloween.
Do you like chocolate?
Well, I don't go to houses because I'm an adult, so I haven't trick-or-treated in a long time.
Where is your whimsy, Gemma? But, that's what I ask of you. Where is your whimsy?
When you were a child, were you really just showing up like dressed as like a tiny, I don't know, Tino Martinez and like...
No, you're just pandering to me.
Wait, hang on. That actually brings up a good point. You brought up this whole thing about dressing up as the nickname of the player. That who would you dress up as then? What is I'm going to put you on the spot. What is your favorite like nickname player that you would want to dress up as?
Oh, man, this is putting me on the spot.
I know.
This is a good question, though. I like
it. I know.
This.
I think it's a good question.
It is. Huh. Maybe for King Felix, you'd like dress up like super regally, like have like the cape and the whole thing and the crown.
And then you could additionally like be a cat. Remember Felix?
Yeah,
the cat?
There you go.
And
exactly.
You could be
Felix. I like the idea of it being like an
it's a giant Felix the Cat mask.
Yeah, like
terrify the
King
entire
Felix.
Seattle area.
King Felix, yes.
What about you, Gemma?
See, this is the best part. It leads to so much sort
it does
of improvisation.
Lead to joy and whimsy.
Yeah, it does lead to joy and whimsy. I'm trying to, because I like putting two things together like that.
I
so
know.
It's sort of hard to think of someone that has two of those
here, I
good
have
things.
A good one.
What's
yeah,
yours?
Here, mine.
Yeah. Since you've already shot down multiple times on this podcast my Yasiel Puigal costume.
I have. Yasiel Puigal is not good.
Yeah, it is good.
Name. It's not his.
Whatever.
Name.
Someone tweeted at me and said that they were gonna be that for Halloween. So whatever. Anyway.
That person probably got terrible.
What have you got?
My feeling is. As you know, the Cuff War cast, Cuff War in general, we are pro bat flip.
Uh-huh.
And so my costume, I would like it to be in favor of really the king of the bat flip, Jose Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
And my costume,
good.
His nickname, Joey Bats,
yeah.
It would be half bat, half kangaroo.
That's cute. Okay.
I'll give you a begrudging nod on that.
What
Joey
about a kangaroo carrying begrudging a lot of bats?
That'd be good too. That would also work.
Pouch.
Yeah, okay, so maybe I would also do a Blue Jays one.
Okay, because you wish you were Canadian.
Yes, I do. If you do not, you know, generally listen to the Cup Forecast, I have a great affinity for Canada. I would probably be like one of the Ed, Ed, and Eddie guys and then just have wings and be Ed Wing.
That's awful.
That's
that is truly awful.
That is remarkable. How did you even...
I just want to say, here's somebody, one of our Facebook Live viewers, Armando Monsives.
I'm sorry.
Apologies.
Read. You say the peanut butter candy and the black and orange wrapper is, I think, his least favorite. Or maybe it's his favorite. I don't know. He just wanted to share
Reese's?
With us his candy. I think a Reese's, but that's good. I like
peanut
butter.
Does anyone else, I mean...
If you have a favorite candy, or a favorite.
If anybody out there supports my anti-Halloween candy,
or if you have a good Halloween costume...
Please let us know.
Good nickname Halloween costume, let us know.
So you guys have successfully distracted me from the 140 characters.
He's on to us.
It's time, we would never have
however,
to, do this.
To settle back in. Chris, again, because you had a terrible Halloween candy take, give us your 140-character summary of this episode of the Cut 4 Cast.
Okay, let's see. LeBron in the center is my dream. If J.K. Simmons is unavailable, hashtag no good candy.
That's terrible. Hashtag no good candy. Get out of here. All right, Gemma, what do you got? What's your 140-character
summary? The best... hashtag new baseball tradition is going trick-or-treating with you, Darvish.
It's a good one.
I would go trick-or-treating.
I'm also behind the hashtag new baseball. I like that.
New baseball tradition. Hashtag new baseball.
Hashtag
tradition.
New baseball tradition. Okay,
yes.
I'm going to try to work that into mine.
Then. Good.
Hashtag new baseball tradition. Sing the national anthem with Indians first baseman LeBron James. Hashtag Cut Forecast.
Okay.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah,
if you have a better 140-character tweet summarizing this podcast, please tweet it at us, at Cut4, with the hashtag Cut Forecast. We'll retweet the best ones. We'll like the slightly less good ones, and we will mercilessly ridicule the terrible ones.
Yes.
That's it for the podcast. That's all we have. If you liked this episode of the podcast, please go to iTunes. You can subscribe to the podcast there. You can leave us a review and a rating. And if you actually take the time to type out a review, we will read it aloud here on this very podcast. That's pretty exciting. You can go to MLB.com/cut4 to read all the stuff that we produce day in and day out. You can follow us on Twitter at cut4. Hey, you're watching us on Facebook Live right now. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/cut4. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Gemma, thank you for always being here and putting up with my inability to read people's names.
They are hopefully putting up with you mispronouncing.
You'll be getting a call from Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Quick shout out to Paul from Brooklyn, who gave us an in-person review.
He did.
That he liked the
That's
podcast.
True.
So thanks, Paul. We can't read
thank
it out
you,
loud
Paul.
Because you didn't write it, but you did tell us in person.
Thank you, Paul. But nice. Mostly thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.